This video is brought to you by Holocasa. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description. Hello and welcome everyone to our 106th session of Holocasa. My name is Michael and today I'm talking again to William Barnes from Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida, for me, for an outsider, is Miami, Florida. But William, you have been here at my show already twice. It's the third time now. I'm super happy to have you always. Tell us exactly where you're from, first of all, and then give us a market overview of Florida.
Well, I could say I was born in Washington, D.C., which would be true, but I have lived in Miami since 1977 now. Went to the University of Miami, undergrad and my master's, and stayed. So I have been here in this market for 45 years. Did a number of things. I worked for the Miami Herald many years ago and did some accounting, but I've owned my own brokerage for over 10 years now. Have been working with buyers locally, but many coming down from the northeast part of the United States, and of course moving up from Colombia, Argentina, Venezuela, Brazil.
Give me a quick overview. How has the market changed from 10 years ago to now?
Well, Miami 10 years ago was almost still just a business city. If you were on the streets at night, there were a few places open. And now, 10 years later, the majority of the large buildings going up, the condos in the downtown area, are all residential condos. Some of them are short term, you know, they offer short term rentals. So if you buy it, if you were in Columbia and you knew you were coming on business, and maybe even bringing the family, and you're going to be here for a couple weeks at a time and maybe two or three times a year. Well, to have something that you can rent out short term, daily, of course, get the higher rate, hotel rate, not a, you know, monthly rental rate, it provides for a good investment. And let's give a quick overview. So right now, after COVID, yes, for 10 years, but let's just go back to what's happened very recently, because this market is so strong. So COVID, everybody was going into their office to work. And many, many people had a desk job where they were, whether they were an accountant or in sales or whatever it may be, working for a bank, working for a finance company, insurance company. Well, COVID got everybody working from home, which opened up the world. Here in the United States, in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, there's very high taxes. It's not just federal income tax. There's state income tax. There's city income tax. And it would eat up another 10, 20% of somebody's income. And of course, very, very expensive to live in the major metropolitan areas. So after COVID, you have people in the Northeast, and you know, if you lived in New York, you know, you always kind of dreamed, you probably vacationed in Miami, and you always dreamed of coming to Miami, maybe retiring here, having a second home here. Well, now that you're working from home and the employers don't want to reopen offices, it's very expensive office space. So now everybody's working from home, not everybody, but, you know, great many people, and they have the opportunity now to come and work wherever they want. Perhaps their parents have already retired to Miami and they used to come visit a couple times a year. In fact, the Miami Realtors Association has a cute little acronym, and it's WFM, and it stands for Work From Miami. You know, we have major metropolitan airports here with Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And so we have a huge influx of people that now can live their dream, you know, don't have to wait till they retire or save enough money to buy a second home, and they are moving to Miami. The state of Florida gets an influx of almost 1,000 people a day moving here, okay? Of course, that's only half of the story. I know we're talking to many people in South and Central America, so of course, with, you know, there's always the inflation or political situation, or somebody just, you know, wants a home in Miami from Colombia. You know, my wife's from Colombia. We go down there frequently and work, have buyers and investors we work with down there. And, you know, Brazil, Argentina now is not as stable as it was, which used to be a very wealthy country. And these people are moving up too. So this market is crazy strong. You want to go back 10 years? I would say my house, which is in the Fort Lauderdale area, a very lovely area, Weston, that has so many Venezuelans moved here. The nickname of my town is Westonzuela. I did not make that up. That is what it is called. Go to Venezuela and say, I have a friend who lives in Weston, and they'll say to you, yeah, Westonzuela. And both the people from South America that are coming up and buying in the Miami area, which is expensive now, and the people from New York that are coming from an expensive area, they sold their homes. And they're coming down here, and the interest rate being very high in the States now is not affecting them so much because they're paying cash. They sold their house, or, you know, certainly coming from Latin America, you know, the people that are coming to buy in Miami, you know, a high-rise condo for, you know, $600,000 for a studio up to many millions of dollars is, you know, they're cash buyers.
I have a question. What does that mean for the inventory on the market in Florida in general?
Yeah. Well, inventory is very, very tight. Single family home, somebody's coming down with their family. If a house goes on the market at the right price, it's gone. You'll get offers in a week. I mean, many offers. You might do an open house or just wait till after the weekend, say we're taking offers till after the weekend. I'm talking in 1 week. You may have offers that are at what your asking price is or higher, or a number of them even higher. In downtown Miami, there is a lot of residential construction going on. There's a number of buildings coming out of the ground. They are building, many people don't know this, a Waldorf Astoria in downtown Miami, 100 stories high. It will not be built until 2027. Okay, they broke ground. That building and the studio started at over $1 million. It's sold out, completely sold out 4 years before it's going to be ready to move into. There's other ones down there that they recognize that this is a strong market. Again, COVID just did it. You know, what's going to change? People are working from home now. People expect to be able to work from home now. And who the heck doesn't want to live in Miami instead of frozen New York City or smoggy, heavy, congested New York City? New York's a great city. Don't want to offend anybody. Grew up in that area. But this market is just recognizes we're going to continue getting people from the South and continue getting people from the North.
And how has that affected the market price during the last, let's say, 3 years, like starting with COVID?
Well, we didn't have the influx as much as we did before COVID. I mean, COVID opened the door. Work from Miami. Couldn't do that 6 years ago, 5 years ago. It was COVID that sent everybody home.
So I expect a market price increase of the property price threefold, doubled, 50% up.
My home in Weston has at least in US 10 years, it's almost doubled in price in 10 years. Yeah, 10 years ago, almost doubled in price. And from, you know, when I bought it 22 years ago, it's more than tripled in price. I mean, my prices continue to go up. Remember one thing with Miami, I wanna touch on it. There's no land, there's the ocean, and there's the Everglades, and you're not building in the Everglades. You're not going to open it up. It is a federal, you know, it's a Everglades National Park or whatever, and it's over 1 million acres. When you drive from Miami over to the West Coast, Naples, you're on the highway for almost 80 miles, and there's nothing. There is nothing. It is wetlands. It is protected. It's preserved, and they're not going to build there. So when it comes to residential area, you know, not in downtown Miami, there's just no place to build. Certainly, there's not completely 100% built, but there's very, very little. And what there is, the property, you know, the land values have gone up so high. And that's why, you know, the city itself, which is amazing now, the number of restaurants or people walking on the street in the evenings or walking their dog or with the baby carriages on the weekends. I mean, you'd think you were in Central Park West, mm-hmm. you know. It's completely, completely changed in the past 10 years. And it's exciting for me living here.
What about the area? I'm just having a look at the map. Lakeland and Down, is it also still Everglades? Could people construct it, or is it also less interesting?
First of all, Lakeland is between Tampa and Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of land up there, and it is over 200 miles or 300 kilometers away from here. Mm-hmm. It's a 4 or 5 hour drive.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so I'm actually meeting with somebody from South America who's coming into town tomorrow, and they're going to be looking at properties there. And whereas my house at, you know, 2,200 square feet is worth very close to $1 million, and anything new is over $1 million. In that, you know, at 2,200 square feet, you can get that in the South Orlando area or the Lakeland area for under $500,000. Mm-hmm. Of course, Disney and everybody going there with the restaurants and the hotels and the parks themselves creates plenty of jobs. And so the buyer I have coming in from South America, we're actually going to be with them up in the Orlando area on Monday, mm-hmm. because they have buyers that may not have $1 million, but for $400,000, they can buy a beautiful home. Now, they're not going to be a short-term rental, but it's a good investment that they can rent out, you know, get a decent rental rate on it and some return on their money. And of course, in Florida, with 3,000 people or 1,000, you know, almost 1,000 people, 300,000 people moved here last year. Well, they all can't move to Miami.
Yeah.
And Orlando's a nice area. Orlando's airport. If, you know, I had a job where I traveled a lot and mm-hmm. I worked out of the house. I've been working out of the house myself for almost 20 years. And as long as you're near a major airport, you know, a part of my job was seeing clients around the United States. And as long as you're close to an airport, there you go. So Lakeland, you mentioned that, but it's a little further from the Tampa airport or the Orlando airport. But there's plenty of stuff in Orlando that's about literally half the price of what it is in Miami for the same home.
Does it already start at the area? I'm just having a look. Okeechobee? Okeechobee. Lake Okeechobee. Because I see like there's not much of construction going on, or not, like it's quite rural, if I may say so. And I haven't been there, so my questions definitely are ignorant. But I'm just curious, is there any construction planned? Because we're experiencing apparently like this entire concentration along Miami and along the entire coastal line. So is basically our municipalities, is the state doing anything about it? Because this apparent influx of people has to have like a massive implication on the price.
Well, here's the deal with Okeechobee. Okeechobee is 60 miles from even Palm Beach Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just too far. Okay. In Orlando, the homes that I'm talking about, can you see Kissimmee?
Yeah.
South of Orlando.
Yeah.
Well, Disney happens to be in Kissimmee. It's not in Orlando, it's in Kissimmee. And it's very large, and there's plenty of land there. There's within 5 mile radius of the couple communities that we're going to go see on Monday, there has to be 50 or 100 communities that they're building.
Okay.
And that's only 20 miles from the Orlando International Airport or 20 miles from Disney. It's not 60. So when you can live there and really, the home that somebody just bought for $400,000, there's no way they would have found that in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area for $800,000. It does not exist. I mean, they're selling townhomes here, $1,500, $200, 2,000 square foot condos here for $600,000. Mm-hmm. Not condos, you know, townhouse. So at least you get a garage and maybe a what they call postage stamp size backyard, but they're 600,000.
Regarding buyer's requests, what is your most frequent buyer's request recently? Do you see any pattern, and is it almost equal, or is it super widespread from price range, type, location? Can you give me maybe an overview there to have an idea of what people are looking for in Florida?
Well, again, the South Americans are people from the Northeast United States that are looking to buy down here. If they know that they're going to be coming down here just short term, which tends to be more of a Latin American thing.
Yeah.
You know, workers are, if they're coming down, they're coming down. This is the country they live in. It's not like they can't stay here. They don't have a green card. They're coming down. And a lot of people from New York, they've never lived in a single family home. And so all these condos that they're building in, there's a number of them. But they're expensive, but they're not expensive if you owned a condo in New York and sold it.
Mm-hmm.
You might have sold a little place up there for $2 million. And boy, for $2 million down here, you can get something nice.
Yeah.
And there's not, there's just for, let's give an example. I have a guy from New Jersey who just bought a place, and he bought the one that's not even going to be built. It's called 600 Miami World Center.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought that place for, it's a two bedroom, two bath. He bought it for $965,000, but it won't be built for 3.5 years, you know, until the end of 2026. And he's going to have that as an investment. He knows it's going to be a condo hotel. He can rent it. He can get a good return. And right now it looks like a good return. And if rates continue to go up, it'll even be a better return by the time the place is finished. But then he came and said to me, listen, I also need a 2 or 3 bedroom. I am moving there. I want to permanently move there. He's paying crazy taxes. And he's has a software company, so it doesn't make any difference to him where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a high rise, beautiful view in downtown Miami, a 1 bedroom you could get for about $500,000. Very nice. With a view and everything. And then you can get a 2 bedroom would probably be $600,000-$700,000. One of the keys is, remember, when you buy a condo, you have high HOA fees, you know, the condo fees. Of course, it pays for the insurance on that, and it pays for the maintenance of the swimming pool and the lobby and the parking garage and all that. But it's $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody has $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does cover other costs that you would have anyway, like, you know, insurance. But it's no, you're not going to live in a home that's going to be $1,000 a month.
Yeah,
unless you're
close.
So it just depends on what people want. And there just happens to be a whole lot. All the availability in downtown Miami. Again, if you said to me, hey, I'm interested in a condo in the downtown Miami area, and I have $700,000 for a 2 bedroom, I could send you over 50 to look at, which doesn't sound like a lot, but boy, to look at anything else, that's a lot. There'd be 50 to 100 that I could send you up to that price in nice buildings, relatively new, in the downtown Miami area.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's not, I don't know if that sounds very, very high to you, or, you know, now that this is becoming a major, more of a major international city, I guess $700,000 for a 2 bedroom in New York City, they just laugh at you. I think that would maybe pay the rent for a year, you know. So the people coming down from up north that are living, you know, in a city, it's not expensive.
Yeah.
It's not expensive for them to.
Perfect. Very interesting. Now give us a bit of an overview regarding your entire Latin American exposure, because you have a lot of business going on with Latin America, or with people from Latin America. You make a lot of connection. You have a lot of connection. You have a very strong connection with Colombia. Give me maybe right now also first and foremost the situation of the market. You mentioned before buyers coming from Latin America. How has it evolved also since COVID?
You know, the Colombians that are coming, or the people from Latin, Central America, and Mexico, they were not affected by COVID like the people in the United States that were working in the office that now have the opportunity to just move in with the country to a place they probably wanted, you know, have enjoyed vacationing before and had thought about maybe retiring to or having another home. In Latin America, we've been working with them. I say we. I own the brokerage and I have a couple realtors, but the main person I work with happens to be my wife, who happens to be Colombian. So I have a son who's also half Colombian. Figure that out. And we've been going down there since we've been married for 32 years. I did go to the University of Miami. I think I mentioned before, I have an undergrad and a master's from there. And my son also went there and played football for the University of Miami. And I got involved. We met the president of the University of Miami Alumni Association. My wife actually met him first in Columbia. And since that time, I am now on the board of directors of the University of Miami Alumni Association Columbia chapter. I'll be meeting with the president when I'm down there later this month. So I really, you know, I love Columbia. My wife's from there. And, you know, if you don't love the food and the people and everything about it, well, then that's your problem, because I just think it's great. And of course, I have wonderful in-laws, you know, and relatives down there, you know, on my wife's side. So we've been working with Colombians. Again, I've been married for 32 years and I've owned the brokerage for over 10, but my wife's been involved in real estate for about 32 years. And so we've been working with buyers from there for a long time. They will come up, they want to live here, they'll buy a place, they'll live here for 6 months, say, oh, I want to go back. Then we'll end up renting it out, maybe selling it. And, you know, I can't speak to the future, although I think you see what I see. You know, you've heard me tell you what I think's going on, and I don't think it's stopping. But nobody's gotten hurt. They've all made more money than they ever dreamed of making. And, you know, you're not just talking about real estate values going up here. You're talking about the exchange rate. And when I got married 32 years ago, the exchange rate was $2,000 to a dollar. And 22 years ago, it was $3,000 to a dollar. And 12 years ago, it was $4,000 to a dollar. And now it's almost $5,000 to a dollar. So if 32 years ago, you were going to wait for the exchange rate to get better, well, you're still waiting. You know, it's going in the opposite direction. And I think just like an investor here in the United States, where do I put my money to get the best return? Well, if you get your money out of the country in real estate that's, continuing to increase, you know, you're not going to make money if you buy a place and sell it in a year. You know, you got it. There's expenses to buy and sell. But over time, you know, you're going to make money. And in real estate, it happens. You know, do you get a dip here and there? Yes, but that doesn't last for long. So we're, you know, again, continuing to work with people down there that are looking to buy up here and rent it out or, you know, use it. We work with them in a variety of ways. You know, we could just, if you come up here and you have a bank account here and you say, I got money, I got it transferred in, I'm ready to buy it. And you've got cash. Well, that's one way to do it. But we offer a lot of different services where I'm not an attorney. I have an attorney that can, you know, do all your closings and walk you through any legal things. We are not a CPA, or, you know, an accounting firm. But if you want to say, gee, should I buy this in my name or should I set up a corporation, an LLC, or, you know, what's the best way to do it to minimize my taxes and get the highest return? Well, again, I'm not a CPA, but we work very closely with some CPA firms that are very well versed in working with South Americans because, you know, or Latin Americans, simply because there's so many here. And you know, the market lends itself to having people that are truly experts and lots of education and experience in doing that. We're not a bank, but we can assist you in opening a bank account here. You know, we have people that you can work with or talk to. So if somebody comes and says, what do I do? Where do I even begin Well, we have contacts that we're, you know, have worked with on an extensive and a regular basis that are very well versed in dealing with, you know, all the countries in Latin America and what needs to be done. You know, okay, I'm ready. I've got all this money here. I'm uncomfortable with the economy here. I'm fine with the economy here, but I think having an investment, a real estate investment in the United States would be a good addition to my portfolio. Mm-hmm. Help me. Where do I start? Well, you know, we kind of guide people along that path.
Do you see any certain trends or also a certain split between countries? Requests coming from Colombia being different than from Argentina, being different than from Venezuela?
As far as properties, no. You know, if somebody's coming here with their family, they're probably, and they were looking for good schools, they're probably looking for residential. I can tell you things have shifted a little bit. Colombia used to be the number one country in Latin America looking for properties in Miami. And that has just this year shifted to Argentina. I mean, Colombia's still very, very strong, but Argentina now, and apparently I'm not a political expert, but apparently there's concern with the situation down there. And there's additional concern with Colombia over the past year with the situation down there. But Argentina, again, I'm no expert, but the ones that I've talked to and that have moved here tell me that things aren't good, you know.
Can you told about it during the last podcast we had, but still let me allow you this question. Is there something like an investment visa that you have to, that you can basically get residency in Miami or in the US, but for a certain amount, which...
Yeah, there's an EB-5. Mm-hmm. And it takes 2 years to get it, but the EB-5 works like this. And there's a high-rise hotel and residences going up in Miami right now, and there's still some EB-5 opportunities left there. They take you from soup to nuts. You know, it's not like, well, you're going to have to get this approved and fill out the form. They are pre-approved for EB-5 investors. Flat out done. Everything is done. A company that's been around for many, many years. There's no worry that it's not going to go up. If anybody's interested, I mean, we can get a complete PowerPoint and information to them. But it's $800,000 now. And $800,000 will get you permanent residency. You can work here and you can bring your family and any children up to the ages of 21. And they can all come in and get the, you know, the green card. So if you have that $800,000, now it takes 2 years to get it all through the system. But if you have $800,000, you'll do it. Now, you will not make any money on that $800,000, but you will eventually get the $800,000 back. There's not like, oh, if you invest $800,000 plus, you're going to make 5% a year or 10% a year or anything. You do not. It is an investment that you're making into the United States. And for that, they will give you your residency and permission for you again and your wife and kids to work. So they can come here and they'll have permanent residency. Which is a lot of money to some people and maybe not a lot to others. I mean, it's almost $1 million. But if you have the wherewithal and you want to be here, you know, a lot of families come here simply because safety concerns and education concerns. I mean, this is, you know, our public school system here. Not all the schools are great. So you choose an area that has some of the, you know, higher rated schools. And the town I live in, West Venezuela, has some of the top public schools in the country. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's West Venezuela. The Venezuelans that had money said, I'm coming here. I'm coming with my family. Perfect. Excellent schools. And that's why they're here.
I guess you don't get a mortgage on this one, on the 800,000, that you can say, okay, I'm just going to down pay 20%.
No, it's $800,000 cash money.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be kind
I was just,
if
I was
you
still trying.
You're 6.5% or 7%, but you were getting zero return. That'd be rough. That'd be expensive. But no, and I think there's certain ways that they track that too. I'm not the expert in that, but I have the expert, you know, to to answer any questions. But
how do you see the interest rate evolving throughout maybe the US? Is it, or is there also a state? Are there differences between the states?
No, it's all based upon the Fed rate. And, you know, if you don't know, or some of our listeners here don't know, it's gone from 3% to, you know, 6.75% in the past, just the past year and a half. I mean, completely unprecedented. Now, that's not high, you know, if you go back 20 and 30 years, you know, it was as high, it was over 10%, you know, many, many times. But 6.5 when everybody's used to paying 3, and it was 3, it was 2.95. It was, you know, depending on your credit, maybe 3.25. Well, since the interest is such a large part of your first, you know, your first payments over a 25-year mortgage, it takes a while to pay that down. I mean, it's just almost double the payments, you know, exclusive of, you know, your taxes and insurance. But the actual payment on the property, it's really almost double them. And it's made it tough for people. It really has. You know, if we talk about local people here, if you wanted to buy a house and all at once, not only have the payments doubled because of the interest rate, but the prices of the houses have gone up 40-50% in the past 3 years, it makes it tough. Mm-hmm. It makes it tough. And personally, my son got married a year ago, and him and his wife like to love to buy a place. And it's like, well, whatever you buy, between the interest rate and the prices going up, you're going to be paying more than double on a monthly basis. You know, you're borrowing money, doesn't have cash to buy a home. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get half the home that you would have, you know, 2 years ago.
Is it more common? Is it fixed then for 10 years? Or how is that normally working in the US?
It's usually fixed for 25 years.
25?
Yeah.
25.
Mortgages. It's, you know, they even have 30-year mortgages. So... And that's, you can get an adjustable, but how dangerous is that now? And the bank, you know, is a little nervous. Is it going to continue going up? And if they give you an adjustable and it jumps up, then it's a lot of times it'll be fixed for 2 years. You know, they wouldn't touch it for 2 years, and you can, you know, make plans at that point in time. But
How do you see the market along all these dynamics moving within the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years in Miami and in Florida overall?
Again, people that have been on the fence coming down here from the Northeast, and there's also people moving here. There's a lot of retirement communities going up. In the Palm Beach area, but the South Palm Beach area that's near Fort Lauderdale, near the Fort Lauderdale airport. I'm sure you may have heard of Boca Raton. That's very south in Palm Beach County. Boynton Beach is just next to Boca Raton. And two people bought homes with me, retirement homes, and one of them was $980,000 and the other one was $1.1 million. So even people that are looking to retire down here, it's not like, oh, let's go to Florida out of New York. Everything's cheap. Not anymore. But if they have income and they're paying taxes on the income, again, they'd save money moving down here. If they own a home up north, they're going to sell it and get more money probably than they'd have to buy down here. So that's another market we hadn't even talked about. I mean, people are retiring down here, and who wants to retire in New York where it's cold anyway? And, you know, certainly people have family and they, you know, want to be close to family. But when you move to Florida, people come visit you all the time.
Yeah.
Especially in the winter. It's Christmas. Let's go see grandma and grandpa, or, you know, let's go see Uncle Bill and get the heck out of this, you know, get out of the snow for a week or so.
Yeah.
So I do not see it slowing down. Again, it's COVID, and to say that 1,000 people a day are moving here. Well, there's over 10 million people in the New York City area, and, you know, 5 million people in the greater Boston area, and, you know, millions of people in the Washington, D.C. or Connecticut is part of New York, and that's who's coming down. And they're just taxed to death up there. And Florida, we're not concerned with anybody raising taxes. You know, all the states are in trouble. Not all, but, you know, a lot of the northern states are in trouble. They're always asking the federal government for money. And the budget of Florida had an excess at the end of last year of over $2 billion of just excess money. Mm-hmm. Excess money. So it's not like things are going to go up down here. It's just being, you know, or the state is being managed properly. Mm-hmm. You know, even when we get these hurricanes and things, and, you know, that's one thing down here. We get a hurricane, but not often. It's not that often when they come. And of course, all the new construction, believe me, these high rises made out of cement and steel do not get blown, and that weigh, you know, how many millions of tons. No wind can blow as hard as it wants to. It's not going to do anything. And down here, all the glass is, you know, hurricane impact up to 180 mile an hour, getting hit with a rock or something like that. And so it's very safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're not moving into a high rise and people are like, oh my God, did you hear that one blew over in the hurricane last year? I mean, it's a safe place to be, yeah. You know, they don't evacuate or things like that.
Give us a quick overview, what you just touched upon it, what all your service offerings are. What are you offering? What is the services you are doing? When should people contact you? In what occasion?
Yeah, well, if they're looking to move here for any reason, and they're looking for properties in Miami or the Fort Lauderdale area, and again, we go up to Palm Beach too. Because there's land in Palm Beach, by the way. Okay, so if you want to build single family homes, oh, there's land up in the Palm Beach area. But again, a 2,000 square foot retirement home is $1 million. Okay, it's not like Orlando where you can get that same square foot for $400,000. And I do serve Orlando, but it would be more with new construction, things that we can do online. And when it comes to new construction or even resales, with the internet, we talked about COVID and everybody's working from home. You call me from Colombia, you call me from Argentina or Mexico and say, well, what do we have available? Well, for goodness sakes, you know, there's pictures and videos online, not only of the, of course, the high rises that are selling haven't even been built yet, you know, the new construction. But if they're looking for anything anywhere, you know, with the pictures and the high def online, it's like, here's the condo, here's the building, here's the lobby, here's the pool, here's the amazing view of Biscayne Bay. So you can do an awful lot online. It's not like, well, I'll talk to you when I get there. I'm thinking of coming next year. It's like, we don't have to wait till then. You know, let's give you a taste and let you see what's available. And you know, who wants to get here for a week and start driving around when you could have been closer to making a decision if you started doing a lot of research online beforehand, making contacts if you need to open a bank account or talk to an accountant. You know, you don't need, if you want to set up an LLC, you don't need to be sitting in anybody's office. They'll do a Zoom call or, you know, give you the paperwork or the information online. So it's made it nice for me and certainly nice for everybody that, you know, we work with down there. It's, I'm coming to Columbia, I'll take you to lunch. We've already done all the business we need to do online, but it'll be great to see you in person.
Yeah.
So just like we're doing, people don't know this. I'm sitting here in Westensuela, Florida, and I do not know where you are. Do you want to divulge where you are? Somewhere in Europe. That's so this is how we work and live now. It's nice. Yeah. It certainly opens up opportunities to, you know, to view and do business elsewhere in the world without having to be there, which was not the case before certainly wasn't the case 20 years ago.
That's true. Even 10. Absolutely. No, that's absolutely true. Bill, thank you so much for your time today. Again, you gave me a very good overview of the market situation in Miami, in West, and in Florida overall. You gave us a good overview also of other places outside of Miami where things are moving, and also especially gave us a very interesting idea of the dynamics of the influx. People coming from the north, from New York City, from Boston, from the entire East Coast, and then also obviously coming from South and Latin America. You also touched upon the entire interest rate topic, how things are moving, how things have evolved, and especially this overall common denominator regarding work from home, the feasibility and the ease to just move down to the sun and be more efficient and do the same job from home and from a better place. You also gave us a very good outlook towards the future, which I really appreciated. How can people contact you?
Well, they can contact me via email, or they can contact me. They can call me. My WhatsApp number is, I guess you put it in the country.
Yeah, I'll put it. Yeah.
Whatever. Here, I'm going to hold up my card. I got a business card right here. I'll hold it up to the screen. But it's 954-661-5301. That's a U.S. number, and I have WhatsApp here. How does this look?
Perfect. Yeah. Can't see that properly.
Can you see it?
Yeah. Amazing. Very good.
Okay. There you go.
I'll put those notes into the show. Once again, thank you so much, Bill, once again, to talk to you, to have you on the show, and to have this connection to Western Florida. Sending you best regards and, a big hug.
Okay, same to you. Hope to see you in person one of these days soon.
Definitely. Absolutely. Okay. Bye-bye.